Our scripture lesson this morning comes to us from Luke chapter 2, verses 1 to 8. In those days, a decree went out from Caesar Augustus that all the world should be enrolled. This was the first enrollment when Quirinius was governor of Syria. And all went to be enrolled, each to his own city. And Joseph also went up from Galilee, from the city of Nazareth to Judea to the city of David, which is called Bethlehem, because he was of the house and lineage of David, to be enrolled with Mary, his betrothed, who was with child. And while they were there, the time came for her to be delivered. And she gave birth to her firstborn son and wrapped him in swaddling cloths and laid him in a manger because there was no place for them in the inn.
Thank you, Ken, and thank you, choir. That was a beautiful canticle, and I took a look at it, just to look at it. Lori likes to have a piece of music at home, and has a difficult piece, and you all did a good job. Thank you, Neil, for picking it, and thank you, choir, for singing it. We appreciate it. Life is like a road that you travel on when there's one day here and the next day gone. Sometimes you bend, sometimes you stand, sometimes you turn your back to the wind. Life is a highway. From the famous movie, Cars. Rascal Flatts. I like that song, it's a good one. And I'm taking my cue for Advent this year from that song, in that we're going to consider how highways are metaphors for life. Lots of metaphors out there for life, what life is about, and what it does to us and what we do back to it. But I think this year we'll talk about highways or roads. Every time I look at the Advent scriptures, at the stories of Christmas in Matthew and Luke in particular, I try to find something new. Because when you're 64 years old, as I am, you seem to have heard it all. But I noticed in my reading and rereading of the texts again that there are four journeys, interestingly enough, there are four Sundays in Advent. There are four journeys that people make in the stories of Matthew and Luke. And I thought it would be interesting to look at who took them and why they took them and what those roads might teach us about life. So today, the road to Bethlehem, otherwise known as life interrupted. You know, most highways are not like the straight and flat sections that you get in Kansas and Nebraska, or in the eastern high plains of Colorado and Wyoming, where I once lived, where you wouldn't expect in Rocky Mountain states for there to be flatness. But there is, until you get to the Front Range. It is flat as a board, and the roads tend to be straight as a line. Most highways are not like that. At some point, there will be detours. What I choose to call for my purposes today, life suddenly interrupted. So you're tooling down the road, and we've done it here in Evansville. I've done it several times in my 15 years of history here, tooling down the same road that's always taken you to a place that you're going. And that one day, there are the famous orange cones and the sign, detour with an arrow saying, you can't go here, you have to go there. And it's annoying. It's very annoying. But, of course, as a metaphor, even more annoying is when life does that to you in deeper ways than just roadways, literal roads. Such was a major interruption experienced by the Holy Family, and that's what the text was this morning from Luke chapter 2. In verse 5, it says that because of a tax registration order, Joseph and Mary were forced to travel from Nazareth to Bethlehem in full pregnancy mode. Must have been difficult. The distance between Nazareth and Bethlehem is about 70 miles as the crow flies. But, of course, no one flies that way. Jerusalem and its environment very hilly. And I would imagine that if you were journeying on the back of an animal, say a camel or a donkey or something like that, it would take 4, maybe even 5 days. How soon Mary delivered is not known. We do not know how soon she delivered. One manuscript, one that didn't make it into our New Testament, it's called the Proto-Evangelium of James. One manuscript says or suggests that the birth overtook them on the way, so she delivered while they were on the way, while they were in mid-donkey ride, and they had to quickly find a place. And according to that tradition, Jesus was not born in a stable, but was born in a cave, hence the Catholic tradition of grottos, a cave. But however it happened, it was still a major detour. It was certainly an interruption in what they had planned. Once you learn that you're pregnant, you don't typically plan to travel by donkey 70 miles or 80 miles to get to your location and deliver on the way. It is a major interruption. But there are even some detours in our lives that are more drastic than that. They can be permanent. Joseph and Mary, of course, eventually returned to Galilee, so it was a temporary detour. However, there are times in our lives, more often than we would wish, when detours are lifelong and life-changing, when dreams and hopes for the future are permanently changed and altered, and detours turn into major life changes. Love ending in divorce. The discovery of a couple's infertility. The loss of a career, not just a job, but a career. The death of a spouse or a loved one or a child. A son sentenced to life in prison for murder. Diagnosis with a terminal disease. These are the kind of detours that are permanent and really represent the interruption of life. Several years ago, actually now a couple decades ago, the Indigo Girls, whom I followed at the time, sang the song, "There I am in younger days, stargazing, painting picture-perfect maps of how my life and love would be, not counting the unmarked paths of misdirection. I missed 10 million miles of road I should have seen." Major permanent interruptions of life. These represent the tragic underside of life that people like to hide from others. The best laid plans are interrupted, or as my brother-in-law, and I've heard many other people say it as well, as we tend to say, life is what happens when you're planning something else. Somehow we are required to achieve a new normal. And that's hard to do when there's a major interruption that we think is going to be permanent. We try to get back on the original path. We want the circumstances to change so we can get back on the old highway. We don't want the detour to be permanent. We want to get back. We cling to it. We expect the circumstance to change, while in many cases, like the ones I've suggested here, in many cases, it's not the circumstance that must change, but it's we who must change and adapt to the new road that we're on. We are the ones who are called to meet the new situation and change and adapt and find that new normal.
Pete and Peggy were faithful members at Monticello United Church of Christ, Brown Summit, North Carolina, which was my first church in the United Church of Christ after I became UCC back in the early 90s. Pete was a retired lieutenant colonel in the Army, and like most people do after they retire from the services, he acquired a full-time job, civilian. And by the time he was 60, he decided to retire. He had just received a clean bill of health from a complete physical. He was ready to go. His major occupation in retirement was going to be playing golf. He had also taken over the young adult class at Monticello United Church of Christ, and the young adults were very pleased to have him and his wife Peggy teach. 1 week into his retirement, 1 week, he was playing the third hole at the Monroton Golf Course in Reidsville, North Carolina,
a course I'm very familiar with because I can see it even in my mind now because I played it often. A member of our church owned that course. It's a par 3 hole, and Pete was putting on the third hole, and in an instant, he was gone. Massive heart attack, dead in a second. And I thought to myself, this is going to really make it difficult for Peggy. And it was. Losing your life at 60, really young these days, I wasn't sure that she would make it. However, the support of family and friends at church and her deliberate pursuit of normalizing activities settled her into a routine. I don't know if you remember, a couple years ago, I was called to do an anniversary weekend sermon back in Brown Summit, North Carolina, 5 or 6 years ago. I can't remember exactly when. And, of course, I had a chance to catch up with Peggy. And she has, thankfully, recovered fully. She has found that new normal. Nutrition, rest, exercise, new normalizing routines, taking a look at the detour where you're on, taking a look at the new landscape that you're not used to, finding ways to adapt, settling in, and above all, being patient with yourself. Finding a new normal after a tragic detour in life takes time. And it's going to be different for every person. But my experience is that it almost always happens, not 100% of the time, but am I dealing with people who have had major interruptions to life, interruptions that have become permanent, generally speaking, with a very, very high percentage, people do recover in their own time. Now, we never forget our losses. I can say that myself because I lost my firstborn son after 3 days. Most of you know that. Some of you might not. It was a tailspin extraordinaire, and that's something you can't recover. You can't go back. I mean, the child is dead. But eventually, you choose to adapt to the new normal and move on. And with the benefit of hindsight, I have to make this clear, this isn't necessarily God's purpose working itself out. But with the benefit of hindsight, we sometimes find that the wrong turn was necessary to get to the right place, as someone has put it. Angela Blunt is a talented, award-winning author. Some of you who read a lot may have run across some of her literature. She's experienced her own diversions and detours, recounted in such books as Once Upon a Road Trip, in which she describes misadventures on a literal 2-month solo road trip that she took right after high school. And a lesson that she learned was that detours can become magical and lead to things we never thought possible if we are open to the experience. And again, this is not to say, I would never say that God has a purpose in giving you that detour. I don't believe that. I don't believe that God causes harm or ill or even allows evil things to happen. They just do. But from the benefit of hindsight, somehow, some way, we can find good things. And she says this in one of her books, Angela Blunt. It's odd how life makes twists and turns. I never would have guessed that I'd end up where I am now, but I wouldn't trade it for the world. I wouldn't trade this path, this detour that I'm on, for the whole solar system, for that matter. If I've learned anything these last several months, it's that sometimes the most scenic roads in life are the detours that you didn't mean to take. It certainly worked for Joseph and Mary. Detour turned into a good thing. Although I'm sure when they started the detour and came across the orange cones, they were disappointed. Things worked out for them. Detours often do. So let us be open to the same possibilities during this Advent season. Amen and amen.